Thanks, Ben. Good evening. Great vision up there, transforming our community through the love and power of Jesus. It's a bold vision, isn't it? It's more than a bold vision. It's an impossible one. You realize that? It's impossible. But God's up for it, and he's looking for people who put their hand up for it as well. Josh had a great word today, and there was a real sense of saying, you know, we want to respond to that call of God on our lives and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, use me. And just before I start tonight, I'd like to honour all the young people tonight, Ben and all the team, so many volunteering in the cafe, playing music, the guys that preach, the guys that do the lights and the sound, and all giving up their night. Could have been home watching the Cowboys play tonight, couldn't they? Don't mention it. They could have been, but they're here, you know? They're here. Dan, Rach, Dan, the whole crowd of them. And they're putting this on because their hearts are to see our town transformed one life at a time and making a space for young people and young adults to come on a Sunday night where they can be touched by the love of Jesus and hear the word of God. Same team that are here on the Friday nights, a couple of us drive the bus for them and all the youth that come. You know, this must be God because Ben's here on Friday nights, and Friday night the Broncos were playing. And it was a really close game, I heard, and watched a little bit, heard all the bits, but, you know, Ben was up here, so that must be God, you know. And I really believe God's with them. Do you believe God's with them? God's hands on them, you know, last few weeks. God bless Kurt doing all the food and the team and putting on food for us once a month. You know, God's preparing something. He's going to bring young people here. Let's just declare it tonight. He's going to fill this house and he's going to bring young people in to hear the gospel. There might be a few of us here tonight, but God's with us. God's hand is on them. And I just encourage them. And I used to be a bookies clerk when I was young. That was my first job I had when I left school. And I know a good bet when I see it. And I'm back in this team, I tell you. I'm back in this team here because God's going to do stuff with them. And the Spirit of God's here. I'd like to talk a little bit tonight about this vision that we've got up here, this impossible vision, for it to be realized. Who knows, we need help. We need help. And this is the title of my message tonight, Help is Here. Help is Here. I'd like to talk a little bit about tonight about the how. And I'd like to read one verse, Luke 1:35. It's about when the angel visited Mary, and he told her she was going to conceive and give birth to a son. And they were to call his name Jesus, and that he would be the Messiah. And Mary knew this was impossible. God spoke to her, but she knew it was impossible. And she said, how can this be since I am a virgin, since I've never known a man? And the angel said these wonderful words, the Holy Spirit will come on you. You know, we have a vision God's put in our hearts that's so bold, it's impossible. You know, 50 people perhaps in a dark and black room on the outskirts of Caboolture, believing that they can transform a community, a whole community, through the love and power of Jesus. And yet we're confident of this because help is here. And he has a name, and it's not Kevin, and it's not Jed, and it's not Ben. It's his name is the Holy Spirit, isn't it? That's his name. That's his name. You know, without him, we can do nothing. You know, if I was to ask, you know, Josh had a good word today. I enjoyed Josh's word for those that were here. It was really great. And just bless what God's doing in your life, Josh, and the word of God. And, you know, if Ben or Josh, if I tell them, look, you know, we're going to this place, you've got one message to preach, only one. I wonder what it would be. I'd be nearly certain it'd be the gospel. If there's one message we've got to preach, it's the gospel, the good news, the grace of God. I mean, if it was me, I'd package it around the grace of God and the good news of what Jesus done. It was like Paul. He said, I preach nothing else but Christ crucified. But what would be the second message if you had a second one? Would it be about the power of God's word? Would it be a good message about faith, the need to have faith? Would it be just about loving one another like the Apostle John did? But if you would ask me what our second message should be, if we had two messages to preach, the second one would have to be about the Holy Spirit. It would have to be. You know, if you look at that verb up there, transforming, it's an action word. It's the critical word in that phrase. And the Holy Spirit is the only one who does that. He's the change agent. To reach our community, to see it transform, we have to partner with the Holy Spirit. We have all these values on the wall here. One of them's wound up over there about our mission, but there's another one up there. It's about our core value, and it's titled Supernatural. And it says on there that we're dependent. It means we can't do without it. It means we lean on it. It means we depend on this. We depend on the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. Christianity, this faith we have, is not simply a moral code that we have to keep. It's not principles alone that we live by. It's not all these words in a book are not just accumulated over many centuries of wise words and sayings that give us an idea how best we should live our lives. That was the place I came to when I was 15 years of age. I can picture myself still at the kitchen table of my home at Acacia Ridge, where I grew up, and my dad was a very good man, a Catholic, and he tried to bring me up with some faith, and I went to Catholic boys' schools. And there was a time in my life in year 10 at school, every day of year 10, I went to Mass. I was an altar boy, and I turned up for that priest nearly every day of the week, 6 a.m. Mass, and I was wanting God, you know. But by the end of that year, I have to say, all that effort, I did not experience real encounter with Jesus. And I had to sit in that kitchen table that night. I said to my dad, look, this Bible's a great book of rules, perhaps, great book to live by, but, you know, where is this God? I could not say that I had encountered a living experience with this God that I'd read about. Up until that date, I had dry religion, but no evidence of supernatural power. And none of us want that. Do you want that? Do you want dry religion? Do you want just a dry well? We want the real thing. We want raw God. Christianity is supernatural. It's supernatural. Perhaps in the West, because we're so used to logic, we're so used to going and doing our degrees and study, we're so used to things making sense, we don't live in a space where we believe as much in the supernatural. But the Christian faith is supernatural. And it's a power from heaven that empowers us to live and empowers us to fulfill God's purpose on the earth. When I was about 19 or so, my father experienced something they call the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He was a Catholic, and there was a move of this happening all around the world, in fact, and in the Catholic churches, many were beginning to experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It so changed his life. There was so much change in him, and he came to such increased faith, increased life. Something was different about him, and it interested me. I can still remember, because I was living away from home at the time, I got in the car with him, and this is the strangest thing, but just the way he was moving the gears in that car, I thought, there's something different about my old man. You know, something's changed in him. And I think it was supernatural. It wasn't that I could see it with my eyes. Somehow I sensed something had changed in his life. And I met a few old friends that I'd known who'd had this experience as well. And I tell you, I was drawn. I was supernaturally drawn by what they had experienced. Sounds like an interesting term, baptism in the Holy Spirit. But it's a biblical term. It's in the scriptures. It's in the book of Acts. And we might read a few things about that. But for me, looking at these lives and people that had been changed, suddenly God was no longer something that was dead. It wasn't just a book. It wasn't just good living. Suddenly, for me, I was excited as a Catholic boy who wanted, you know, probably from the age of three, I wanted to be a priest until I got to puberty and I realized they didn't get married. And I thought, you know, this doesn't make sense as well, you know. But I had desire for God and it was never fulfilled. And but when my dad and others I knew got baptized in the Spirit and I saw them come alive, there was a thirst that began to ignite in me and I thought, I want what they got. Wasn't the book of Acts suddenly wasn't just a myth, wasn't just a good story. It wasn't just a time that was in the past that had passed away. I began to get stirred that the book of Acts was alive for today. And I heard a preacher on a tape just recently. I was really blessed with this. He said, to say that the events in the book of Acts are finished for today, that what we read about that is finished, it's like we're teased, isn't it? You know, God doesn't tease us. It's almost like he said, to deny the supernatural dimension of our faith is like reading it on a menu and drooling. It's a good thing, isn't it? It's like good. It's a good way to express this. It's like reading it on a menu and drooling. What he's saying there is, it's on the menu, but they're not serving it in the kitchen anymore. It's not being served up, and it's not true. It is real today. To say that the time of miracles is finished is not true. People still today get filled with the Holy Spirit and miracles still happen. And that's one of our values up there as well, that because we are dependent on the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit, we hunger for an intimacy with Him and we contend for the miraculous. We're putting ourselves out there that's what we believe in. The coming of the Spirit was a fulfillment of a promise from God. If we just put up Acts chapter 2, verse 38 to 39, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise, it's a promise. Let me say that it's a promise. God always keeps his promises. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Are you called tonight? Are you called? It's not just for those that happened in Acts 2. It's not just at the beginning of the church when it was birthed. It's for all of us that are a long way off, that are 2,000 years down the track, that have been called by God, that have put our trust in Him. This promise is for us all. If you've received Jesus and been baptized in His name, it's God's desire to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a few weeks ago we had a water baptism here. And Ben shared a message and he talked about dying of a garment, like a pair of jeans. You want to get them back to a nice dark blue color or something, and you get a good blue dye and you put the dye in the bucket or the tub, and then you put in those jeans and those jeans are submerged and they come out blue because they've been put in there. And that's what baptism is like. And it's the same here. When we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's like plunging a human life into a larger source of the Spirit so as to overwhelm that life with the life of the Spirit, resulting in a complete filling or a change. You know, we are in the age of the Holy Spirit. God's ordained that everything be done by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Everything that he wants to do, he has an agent that he has sent to this earth to do his work in us and through us. In fact, Jesus told his disciples not to attempt to fulfill the Great Commission. He'd given them a job to do, but he told them, don't do it yet until you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we just read that in Acts 1, verse 4 to 5. This is the verse. It says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When I, around the time I first heard about this experience, it was 1980, and it was around the time of the second Star Wars film, The Empire Strikes Back. And I can remember being in that cinema because I was starting to get curious about all this that was going on with my friends and the experience they had. And they had a phrase in that film, the force be with you. And but that's not what the Holy Spirit is. He's not just a spiritual force or an influence that we tap into. He's a person, just like Jesus. In fact, Jesus is in heaven, and the Holy Spirit is the one on earth today. And Jesus said, it's better that I go away. He said it's better. It must be good if he said it's better I go away. What we're experiencing when the Holy Spirit comes upon our lives, when we experience being filled, it must be good because it's better than Jesus being in this very room, sitting next to Ben and spending time with us. He said, I will send another. And that word is meaning another like him. Just like him. You know, and the book of Acts is full of the actions of the Holy Spirit. It's got all about him speaking, directing, guiding, and empowering. In Acts 1:8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and to the end of the earth. Jesus is talking about a power given for the clear purpose of witnessing to the world that he is alive and that God loves them. What I read in that is the baptism in the Spirit must be evidenced by some power. There's got to be some strength, some dynamic, something that happens at that point. In order that this experience will so change us that it makes our witness for him so much more credible. As we read through the book of Acts, one thing is clear. Every time people receive the Holy Spirit, there was evidence that something happened. It wasn't just something they could talk about. It was better felt than telt. It was something that they experienced. We read in Acts 2, verse 1 to 4, the very first outpouring of the Spirit, and when the first early church were in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came, it says in there, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. We need something from heaven. And there was a wind bigger than that hurricane, I bet, that's going on in the US. There was this blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire They not only felt something, they saw something. Tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. A little bit on in Acts chapter 8, we read about a man named Philip, who was an evangelist, who went to a place called Samaria, saw many people reached and come to faith in Jesus and believe, and they were baptized. But then it says in verse 14, it says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, that is, they'd believed the gospel and they'd been baptized in water, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. From this, clearly people who had already believed, already been baptized in water, had not yet received the Holy Spirit. Have you received the Holy Spirit? I ask you tonight, have you received the Holy Spirit? Because it's better that Jesus said, it's better that I go away, that I send another. And he wants to overwhelm us. He wants to baptize us in that spirit of himself, so we are overflowed, overwhelmed and filled. A couple of weeks ago, Debbie and I went to a little church down the road because some little event was on that we were asked to go to. I happened to have a bishop there. There was a bishop. And while this was going on, they were confirming some young adults. And the bishop was praying for them and saying, receive the Holy Spirit. And I didn't see much evidence when that happened, you know. And I can remember being confirmed as a 15-year-old or a bit less, thinking I'm going up. There was a bishop there for me as well. And I thought, I'm going to get something here. I'm all worked up for it. And received the Holy Spirit, I think I left just the same as I came in. I didn't experience anything like what I thought. You know, if we encounter power from heaven, we should expect some evidence. We should expect something to happen. Can we be a believer, baptized in water, but could yet to be filled with the Spirit? And my experience, you know, we all have our own experience. It's all different for us all. No two of us, I'm sure, are the same. But my experience is one thing sure, that when I got filled with the Spirit of God, when I got baptized in the Spirit, it was supernatural, and I had it was an encounter with a power from heaven. And I still remember it. I can picture it in my mind, because I was a 22-year-old by this stage. I was thirsty, perhaps inside. I was longing for it, but I was pretty shy. I was pretty, just come out of a life of drugs. I was pretty confused. I'd been at uni, been in street marches. I'd been a Marxist sort of leaning, sort of thinking. I'd done things in my life in the world. I think inside I was all bound up. You know, I was a long way from what you would call free. And a few people prayed for me, just sitting on an old seat in a little house church in a garage. And a few people prayed for me, and the power of God came on me. And something broke inside of me. Something began to weep. And I thought, I was certain there was a puddle on the floor. I never cried like that in all my life. And I walked out of that place exhausted, but different. And the next day when I woke up, the presence of God was so with me that I knew he'd done something supernatural in my life. And within that 24 hours from that experience, I was speaking in tongues. And it was the most overwhelming, joyous thing I'd ever experienced. And I think people take drugs because they're looking for something better in life or an escape. But I tell you, when I met the Holy Spirit and he came into my life, the joy he brought, I can remember that next week I was working at Australia Post at the mail exchange, and I was coming home from night shifts, and every night I was just praising God and talking in tongues, and I felt there was a river running through me that I'd never experienced in all my life. And I tell you, it was the most wonderful experience. It took me, I don't know, 1 or 2 years to come off that high. I tell you, you know, and sure, God gets us, and a lot of our growth in the Lord is, you know, we got to start putting into practice and obeying what he's instructed us, and it's a lot of, what would you call it? There's a lot of transformation going on. There's a lot of restoration going on. There's a lot of work he does, and there's a lot of rubber meets the road. But his presence being with us is so special. And that was my experience. And everyone has a different experience. But I ask you tonight, have you received since you believed? Because you need it. You need help. And we need help. We've got a vision there, transforming our community through the love and power of Jesus. It's impossible, and it will not happen. And we've got young people coming on Friday night, putting up their hand, responding to the gospel. We've got a service here we want to fill. We need the Holy Spirit because we need help from heaven. And we all need to be plugged in, and we all need to be filled with the Spirit for us to fulfill what God's got for us. Would the musicians like to come? And I'll just finish up real quick. A couple of last thoughts. We need to receive this promise. There's a couple of quick things. And the first is, it's a gift. It's a gift. Let me remind you, it's a gift. We don't earn this. It's not a reward. We need to believe it's for us. You do not have to wait until you've attained some standard. You'll never be good enough. This power is given to help you to be good enough. It's to help you, to empower us to live. If you've got any struggle, if you're finding you need a little bit of extra help, then the Holy Spirit's for you. He doesn't ask us to be perfect or want us to attain a certain level before he's going to fill us. Another thing is, we need to ask for it. We simply need to ask God for this gift with an expectation that you will receive it. If we ask for it and we expect it, he will give it. He will freely give it. In Luke we read, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's a promise. He'll do it. It's not automatic. Doesn't necessarily happen when we give our lives to Christ. Doesn't automatically occur when we're baptized in water. It can happen, but more often than not, it's a separate experience, and it's something we need to ask for, and it's something we need to thirst for, and it's something God wants to give us, and it's something that's evidenced with power. In the book of Acts, mostly we read that the evidence that occurred was they spoke in tongues. What an amazing thing. I thought that was the most amazing thing, you know, for me. I don't know. Sometimes we get a bit worried about being respectful, you know. But for me, being a Catholic boy, longing for something real, thinking that the supernatural was not around today, to suddenly people to talk in tongues. My dad, he'd be in his bedroom before I went to college. And he'd be up there singing, then he'd be praying in tongues, and I'd be up there, I'd just been downstairs and I'd had a bong, and I was stoned first thing of the day because I thought my lectures would be better that way. And I remember going upstairs and sitting at the kitchen table having my corn flakes, and my dad's in there talking in tongues. And I tell you, it rattled my cage, and I thought, is this real? Is this real? Because I'd long for something supernatural and real all my childhood. And it excited me, and I thought, God, this is you're real, you're around. When I got filled with the Spirit, I tell you, I'd came home to my little flat I was in, I'd look in the mirror and I'd talk in tongues. And I thought, where is that coming from? Where is that coming from? I can't, you know, I found out I could read and comprehend everything I was reading and still talk in tongues at the same time. It was bypassing my mind. I started to think, this is really interesting. I started taping it. I'd tape it and I'd play it back to myself. I think, this is really special. This is God. I tell you, it made God alive to me and made God real to me. It answered a cry in my heart. And it gave me power that changed me and helped me to live. I hungered for it. You know, Ezekiel made a prophetic word. He said, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Suddenly everything that I felt I had to do, I didn't have to feel that way anymore. Suddenly there was something in me that wanted to do it. Something in me had this shift of wanting to please God, you know, and I just can't sing enough praise about it. The baptism of the Spirit was central to the life of the early church. It's a lie to believe that this gift was only for that time. It's a promise spoken by the prophets and by Jesus himself, who said, for you and your children and for all who are afar off and for all whom the Lord our God would call. That's us. That's all of us tonight. It's for us. Jesus called us to an impossible task to change our world. Go and make disciples of all nations. He said that to 12 guys and later maybe 120 in a room in Jerusalem. And I tell you, to this day, the world has been turned upside down, not just by a message, but by people filled and baptized with the whole Holy Spirit, proclaiming a message that was evidenced by power. Jesus himself did not attempt any ministry until he was empowered by the Spirit. And Jesus told his disciples to wait until they were empowered by the same Spirit. We have an impossible job, and we can do all we can. We can fix up the environment here. We can put in structures in place. We can develop a people. We can encourage. We can do all the things we want to do. But with all we do, it will still not come close to enough to getting the job done. We need supernatural help. And help is here. Help is here for us. Help is here. And his name is the Holy Spirit. He's the answer to our question of how can this happen? How can this happen? The Holy Spirit shall come upon us. He's a person. He wants to overwhelm us. He wants to fill us with his power, both to live and to be his witness. We don't want a dead, dry religion of have to. And we don't have to have it. We can have the coming of the Spirit, where suddenly there's an empowering within and we want to. There's something in us that's changed our hearts. It's an empowering grace comes into our life with a passion to live for him. We need every believer in this place baptized in the Holy Spirit, empowered to live and to fulfill the vision that God's put on our heart. I'd just like to, if we could sing a song as we finish tonight. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We welcome him. We welcome him with open arms. And I'd like to invite you and give an open invitation for you to give an open invitation to him to just come out the front as we sing tonight. Whether if you've never experienced him and been filled with his Spirit, come out tonight. Ask him and believe and invite him and say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. You're welcome in my heart because we need him. Let's all stand and sing, and I'll hand over to Ben.